It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America, coast to coast, over oceans, over borders, wherever you might be. Thank you for being here. I'll be rolling with you for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday. That means Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher, and thank you again for tuning in. We've been hanging out for an hour already, and we've discussed a lot. We talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is he happy in Milwaukee? Why? Because Damian Lillard was waived. Okay, you got the Milwaukee Bucks who said, we're going to pay this guy for the next 5 years just so we don't have to pay him big money for two. As a result, the Bucks decided to bring in Miles Turner. Pacers are now missing a big man. And we talked about the return of Darren Waller to the NFL. Hopefully, it'll keep him out of the recording studio. He's not good at music. And then somebody who's not going anywhere, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, comes to an agreement with the richest contract extension in NBA history, SGA, in another 2 seasons. This guy is going to be making on average of $71 million plus per season through 2031. It's big money in basketball. Can you grow? Can you be 6'5", 6'6", 6'7"? Can you put the basketball in the hoop? Yeah, go get some cash. Well, at least teach your kids to. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the show, you can. You can call me up at any time. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can also get a hold of me. I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. As we continue on with the show, of course, basketball and free agency news is dominating everything and everywhere. Matt Moore is going to join us from the Action Network. He'll be here with us in about 20 minutes. And then next hour, I got to show love to this team because I think they've done absolutely amazing. Danielle Lerner is going to join us from the Houston Chronicle. She covers the Rockets. And when you take a look at what the Rockets have been able to do and the depth on their roster, absolutely amazing. If I'm a Rockets fan, I'm excited. If I'm a Rockets fan, hey, get me to the Western Conference Finals. Get me there as soon as possible. I think that's the potential for the Rockets. Damn, the potential for the Rockets is an NBA championship, okay? They got to get past the Thunder first. In due time. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, next hour we'll get into the Houston Rockets and we'll have that chat with Danielle. And I think the Knicks have done had some good moves here picking up Jordan Clarkson. The Knicks might even have a new head coach sooner than later down the line. So we got a lot to discuss with Matt Moore in about 20 minutes. But I got to tell you, it's been about 24 hours since the legal tampering period opened up. And the last time I checked, the Los Angeles Lakers still don't have a center. Okay, I mean, this is a team that was trying to get a center from pretty much the minute that they acquired Luka Doncic. It was the one hole in their roster. They traded for Mark Williams, who's now a member of the Phoenix Suns. And they said, no thanks. I don't know what they saw on an MRI, on an X-ray, but they think Mark Williams' body is made of twigs and glue. And they said, no, thank you. And so the Los Angeles Lakers, as we are here in free agency or the legal tampering period, the biggest move for the Lakers is the fact that LeBron James opted into his contract, that he is not leaving, that at minimum he will play one more year for $52 million. Now, is he going to finish out his contract with the Los Angeles Lakers? That's to be seen. Okay, LeBron James is obviously the biggest name, biggest free agent, biggest player, billionaire basketball, this and that. We know what the deal is. And his agent, Rich Paul, has spent the last few days letting everybody know, yeah, LeBron James is happy to be back in Los Angeles. And LeBron James appreciates the partnership. I mean, how many players can say that, a partnership with the team? They appreciate the partnership with the Buss family. But now we got more from Rich Paul. Dave McMenamin, who feel like has covered LeBron James since he fell out of the womb. He spoke to Rich Paul. And Dave McMenamin translated this to us or shared it. He told me that he has had not, or excuse me, he told me that he has not had any discussions with the Lakers about wanting a trade. Speaking of Rich Paul, he did say that four teams have contacted him in the last 24 hours wanting to talk trades, but Rich didn't have any substantive conversations with those teams either. The four teams were not named. Why would this be out? Like, why would this be out unless they wanted to be out? Like, Rich Paul is not stupid. And neither is Dave McMenamin. He is sharing the gospel of LeBron James to curry favor. And Rich Paul is sharing this information with Dave McMenamin to let him know that, hey, if the Lakers don't move, then LeBron might leave. Like, this is how you say it without actually going forth and say it. This is just the art of negotiation. That's just what it is, flat and simple. And so when you bring in LeBron James for one more year, no trade clause, by the way, Dorian Finney-Smith leaves. You just traded for this man. Now he's a member of the Houston Rockets. You need a center. Brook Lopez says no to the Lakers. He goes to the Clippers. Who does that? Nobody. Clint Capella. He could have been a good option if he was healthy for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's also going to the Rockets. And so what's left from a big man perspective? Miles Turner just signed with the Milwaukee Bucks today. They're going to rely on DeAndre Ayton. Does he like basketball? Maybe he'll go to L.A. and like basketball. This is the same damn guy who was trapped in his house and couldn't get to a Portland Trailblazers game. They tried to get him help to get out of his damn house, and he just still couldn't get to a basketball game. They may bring in DeAndre Ayton, and he may be laying out on Santa Monica Beach. I have no idea. And when it comes down to why the Lakers aren't spending, oh, they did sign Jake LaRavia. That most people probably never even heard of this guy. Shams Charania was on ESPN, and he said they're trying to save money for next year or the year after that. What?
Right now, LeBron James understands the Lakers are prioritizing the future in a lot of ways that really centers around Luka Doncic. They are really prioritizing two-year contracts right now. They want to have max salary space in 2027. LeBron James is very closely evaluating essentially how this goes with the Lakers and where he would want his career to be as he winds down, whether he has 1 year left, 2 years left, or 3 years left.
Man, what? But if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, why the hell aren't you looking at right now? You have one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He would tell you that he is the greatest basketball player of all time. I don't know if he really believes that deep down. You got LeBron James. You have a transcendent player who could finish his career as one of the greatest of all time. And Luka Doncic. Why wouldn't you want to take advantage of something right now? And we know the Los Angeles Lakers are in the process of being sold. They're moving on from the Buss family. Mark Walter, who owns Guggenheim Partners, also owns the Dodgers. This guy has never been shy in spending money. I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, keeping the books clean as they move towards an ownership restructure. I don't know. Maybe the Los Angeles Lakers are looking to strike it rich come February. Maybe the roster isn't done yet. I had mentioned the fact that LeBron James at that point in time, both he and Giannis Antetokounmpo might say, I'm out from their respective teams. I don't think LeBron James is going anywhere right now. These are all just warning shots. These are all just, hey, FYI, we have to do something between now and February that makes me feel good about us winning. If not, I'm going to push the eject button. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for LeBron James. He is someone who we've seen. He left home. They hated his guts. Had a whole TV special to leave. Regretted that. Went to Miami. Ultimately didn't leave with the greatest taste in his mouth with Pat Riley and some of his rules. Goes back to Cleveland, wins a championship, says I did what I needed to do, says I'm going to Los Angeles. And now LeBron, he's not beholden to L.A. You don't have to stick around. If he wants to finish his career in Cleveland for 1 or 2 years after this season, I would not be surprised at all. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN, and this is what he had to say about LeBron's future as it relates to the Lakers.
I don't mean this to be controversial. It's just true. This is the beginning of the end with the Lakers for LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 40, turning 41, that's, absolutely. I think, an acceptable thing to
and
say.
Again, for the first time in his career, he is on the end of a contract, okay? So how is that end going to be? Is it going to be with a some sort of really impressive playoff run alongside Luka next spring? Maybe. Is it going to be something that happens during this year? Maybe. That's what, essentially, I take from this statement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's warning shot. Warning, warning, warning. And, oh, yeah, by the way, even if they get DeAndre Ayton, whoop-de-freaking-do. I would say this guy's a disappointment after being selected first overall. I don't know. He's gotten paid. Where's the motivation? I don't think there is any. And it's kind of crazy. Kendrick Perkins, everybody's favorite talking head, going at Bill Simmons, going at Brian Scalabrine. Now Kendrick Perkins is going after DeAndre Ayton. This is what he had to say about the man on TV this morning, ESPN.
The word around the league is not good about DeAndre Ayton. The Portland Trail Blazers were happy as hell that they got to this point with him. Right now, he's been labeled as a diva, as a cancer in the locker room. And if I'm DeAndre Ayton, I got to have a moment. I got to have someone speak the real to me, because we're talking about a former number one pick. And I believe that he's one situation away. The next situation or next organization that he lands to, even if it's the Lakers, he has to change a lot about himself, or he will find his career being shortened.
Well, I don't know about all that. Kendrick Perkins basically putting a kibosh on the guy's career. I don't know about all that. The guy is 7 feet tall. He can get you a double-double. Is he the most passionate guy? No. Is he going to get you over the hump? No. But I think if he is on the right team, maybe his buttons can be pushed. We did see him go to a championship with the Phoenix Suns. And playing with Chris Paul is not the easiest thing in the world. That guy likes to grate on everybody that he plays with. But DeAndre Ayton on the Los Angeles Lakers, I could see just one big old shrug. That's it. And a matter of fact, this past season, he only played 40 games. Count them, 40 games. With the Portland Trailblazers. That's half the season. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, can you afford to bring him in and pay him half of his salary? I mean, no, it doesn't work that way. But DeAndre Ayton is not necessarily going to move the needle for the Los Angeles Lakers. And if I were LeBron James, I wouldn't be all that enthused. I wouldn't be all that thrilled if you brought in DeAndre Ayton. I would still look at the rest of the roster and go, where the hell is everybody else? Where the hell is our help? LeBron James is going to start the season in purple and gold. He'll have a big press conference for his 22nd, 23rd season. He'll sit around and tell everybody how much and how happy he is to be there and that he's hoping to win a championship with the Lakers. And when it comes down to whether or not he's going to see his career through the rest of the way in L.A., he's not going to answer that one. He's going to say, I want to win titles. I hope it's here. He's going to leave it open. The seeds have already been sowed for LeBron James' exit out of Los Angeles. Los Angeles Lakers looking like duds, looking like losers so far here in this offseason. And must I say, does LeBron James need does he need the $52 million? Could he have taken on less? The answer is yes, he could have. But hey, man, the money is there. How many more years is LeBron James going to be fluid just to have a guaranteed 52 coming in? We know he has a Nike contract. But hey, 52 coming from the league, you might as well take that money while you can. And speaking of money, it's pretty sad too. I feel bad for the Celtics. Not really. But you got the Celtics and the Lakers. These are two teams trying to battle it out for who has the most titles right now. The Celtics do. Man, they've lost Jrue Holiday. They got Porzingis gone. They traded him. Luke Kornet went to the Spurs yesterday. Big backup center. Al Horford could potentially be leaving. They lost Tatum for the year. They brought in Luke Garza, though. How exciting. Yeah, things not looking good for the Celtics. And we know why this is the case. It's Jason Tatum. He went down. And the idea that they were going to go out there and repeat or win anything next year went out the window. This is nothing but a gap year for the Boston Celtics. This is what Brad Stevens had to say on Thursday.
The biggest challenge for our team is our first-team All-NBA players in a boot. That's number one, right? So we know that going into next year. And then everything else is another, you know, is second to that.
Well, you guys have certainly saved some money in the process. You have a new owner who's coming in. Are we talking about the Celtics being cheap or are they being smart, Brad Stevens?
Our owners, old and new, are committed to spending. This is. There's a lot of things that go into these moves and a lot of things that are really important. And listen, again, it goes back to prioritizing our flexibility. And, you know, I think the second apron basketball penalties are real. And I'm not sure I understood how real until they were staring me in the face in the last month.
Yeah, he's like, hey, we're going to suck. Why are we going to pay to suck? We can take a year off and come back the following, okay? That's basically what it boils down to. Boo-hoo for the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Not really. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a chat with Matt Moore. Covers all things NBA from Denver, Colorado, as well as nationwide for the Action Network. I'm going to ask him about all things going on in the league. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's been about 24 hours since the legal tampering period has opened in the NBA. We've seen some moves today, like Damian Lillard being waived by the Milwaukee Bucks. DeAndre Ayton is still floating around. We saw a trade last night with Michael Porter Jr. and Cam Johnson. LeBron is opting in and kind of sort of warning the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a lot going on in the league. The Rockets are getting better. Denver is trying to, you know, maybe recapture some of its past glory with Bruce Brown. Anyway, joining us right now is someone who's covered the NBA for years. He's currently a senior writer at the Action Network, podcast host, and does it all. Joining us now is Matt Moore. Matt, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Absolutely well. When you take a look at everything that's taken place over the past 24 hours, what captures your attention the most?
You know, I think there's a couple of teams that you can kind of identify as having made the biggest jumps. And obviously, I think the Houston Rockets start there with adding Kevin Durant, but they also pick up Clint Capella as a backup center option. They've really, I think, improved themselves, picking up Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, the Rockets are going for it. They think they can compete in the Western Conference with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they obviously, I think, have taken some big steps forward. I think in the East, you look at Orlando and you look at Atlanta. Atlanta getting Kristaps Porzingis in a trade and then adding Nikhil Alexander-Walker, an elite defender, to go with Dyson Daniels and Jalen Johnson. Trey Young's obviously still there. They're pretty loaded. The Magic trade for Desmond Bane, then pick up Tyus Jones. Some really good additions for Orlando, who looks to be better in that Eastern Conference with a lot of the teams at the top kind of in, you know, turmoil. Obviously, the big news today is, you know, the wave of Damian Lillard after they signed Miles Turner in Milwaukee. Huge news. Nobody saw it coming. A real shocker that opens up a host of questions about Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then finally, the Denver Nuggets, who add Bruce Brown, trade for Cam Johnson, break up their core four, add a backup center, add another wing in Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, this is a league of parity, and we have seen teams definitely load up, make a run at it outside of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, Matt, when you talk about, I want to get back to the Nuggets momentarily. When you talk about what took place earlier today with Damian Lillard and Miles Turner on his way in, what do you think this means for Giannis? Is it not a little too late in the game for him to say, I want out? It'd have to be throughout the course of the season or next year, no?
No, because he's made it very clear that he wants to keep all options on the table. I don't think it's likely that Giannis leaves. I think it's probably 70-30 at this point. But one of the things that was interesting is when the meetings were held between him and the front office, no result came out of it. And we were all like, "What?" Usually this gets reported. Either he's in or he's out. And with nothing being reported, kind of the follow-up has been, yeah, he's here for now. And I think he wants to see the entire board. I think he wants to see exactly what the Bucks do. The rest of free agency. He wants to see what the roster looks like come August, September, and then be able to make a decision based off of that on what he wants to do with his future. The team obviously moving on from Dame, getting Miles Turner. He reportedly was in contact with Turner throughout this process, so I think that's promising. But I also think that you won't really know with Giannis that he's there until we're in training camp and it's all good to go. He can pretty much change. He's earned the right to change his mind at pretty much any point with where this, you know, team is at. So a lot of question marks. I think the Bucks still probably are looking to do a few things on the edges to shore up the support of Giannis.
Matt Morris joining us from the Action Network. You mentioned the Denver Nuggets and some of their changes around Nikola Jokic. I know you're based in Colorado. What do you think? Have they done enough to kind of keep things status quo? We know Westbrook is likely gone, but what do you think about the additions that they've made?
I think it's huge upgrades. They took Michael Porter Jr. and effectively broke him down into smaller contracts. So they take one of their core four making $30 million, and they break it into Cam Johnson making $23 million, and then Jonas Valanciunas making about $5 million. And in doing so, they get more versatility, a better defender, still a great shooter, a guy with way more floor game, and they add a backup center to hopefully mean that when Nikola Jokic steps off the floor, the team will absolutely melt down into a radioactive mess. And that's a big addition for them. Adding Tim Hardaway Jr., big. Adding Bruce Brown, massive for the locker room. The guys love Bruce, and they're all going to be thrilled that he is back. He provides a lot of what Russell Westbrook did last year. So Russ was honestly kind of the Bruce Brown replacement a year later. And now a year later, Bruce Brown is replacing Russell Westbrook. Tim Hardaway Jr. comes in and can replace, could be a veteran component. They got given that Justin Holiday 2 years ago, didn't have that last year. These players all fit with their young guys. They fit with their starters. They can all play with Jokic except for Valanciunas. All of it is extremely good refitting around Jokic. The Nuggets are locked to make another run at the title.
Well, Matt, you talk about being refitted or retrofitted. We just talked about this prior to you joining us. The Los Angeles Lakers, outside of adding LeBron James opting in and picking up LaRavia, it's kind of like, well, what's next? And apparently there doesn't appear to be anything next unless they bring in somebody like DeAndre Ayton. What do you think we're going to see from the Los Angeles Lakers? And is LeBron James going to be sticking around with the Lakers at this point next year?
Yeah, a lot of questions. That LeBron quote that he put out after he opted in was sent a lot of ripples throughout the league, but there's just not a lot of opportunities for him in terms of teams that can actually physically make the trade or in a position to trade for him and compete immediately. So no one really knows how this is going to go. The Ayton thing is especially interesting because of what happened today. Miles Turner signs with the Bucks, the team that had put in a massive restricted offer sheet for DeAndre Ayton when he was with Phoenix, was the Indiana Pacers, who all of a sudden have a big need at center. So there's a lot of questions in the league about, are they going to be the team that maybe swoops in and grabs up Ayton? Now, there's still an expectation that Ayton's going to go ahead and sign with the Lakers. Everyone's expecting that, but until it's done, I think it's a big question mark here. And the Lakers are looking at not a good roster. Like they lucked into a Luka Doncic trade, and the idea was, well, we're not going to do anything at the deadline because we're going to build around him this summer. Now they're talking 2027. No one knows what's going on with the Lakers, but it can't be good to be putting this position where Luka Doncic is not going to have enough help around him next season, regardless of what happens with LeBron.
No, LeBron James isn't the only guy we're trying to figure out a future with. Giannis, and we talk about Dame Lillard. We know that he's going to be out, if not the entirety of the season. We might be lucky if he comes back at the end. Is he finally now going to set up shop in Miami? He's going to have options.
Yeah, he'll have a lot of options. If he wants to stay closer to where his kids are in Portland, then he can look at something like maybe Los Angeles, signing on with one of those teams for a year and then joining them next season when he's rehabbed. He's going to have a lot of options because teams will look to sign him for them to be ready. Like, I already have him locked into a multi-year deal, even with the Achilles basically, you know, killing off a year of the deal just to have his rights on. Miami, I think, has to be the most likely. There's got to be a better than 60 to 70% chance that Dame winds up in Miami. I think those West Coast teams Not just Los Angeles, though. I'd also keep an eye out on the Golden State Warriors, even though their cap sheet is very tight. Depending on what kind of offer he can get, makes a lot of sense with Dame being from Oakland.
And Matt Moore joining us, covers all things NBA for the Action Network. As we move on, you mentioned Russell Westbrook and him being out. Last night we saw that Jordan Clarkson likely to be joining the New York Knicks to give them some scoring off of the bench. Where the heck does Russell Westbrook fit in this NBA landscape? Is he going to be a free agent until, I don't know, September, October?
Could be late. You know, he might be a guy that teams realize they don't have a better option and they go in for him. You know, there's still a lot of, I think, time left, though, in the calendar. We're just a day into free agency. So I think we'll probably see him, you know, grab on with the team maybe later in the process. He'll still have opportunities, I think, with several of the teams that are looking in contention standpoints. But he is a lot to deal with, and it both in the locker room and on the floor. So finding the right fit might be one. It'll be interesting to see maybe if he's an option for the Detroit Pistons, who lost Dennis Schroeder today as he signed a deal with the Kings.
Oh, man, you talk about the Kings. I mean, and it's not just over the course of today or this week, over the past bunch of years. It's just so many questionable decisions. Is there a team that you look at here over the past several days that you just go, what the heck are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers are one. The Kings are a big question mark. Why would they add Dennis Schroeder when they've got DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Keon Ellis, all these guys? It doesn't make a lot of sense, which is one of the reasons why I think there's a lot of questions about whether DeMar DeRozan will be the one that winds up in Miami. But the Damian Lillard situation might complicate that. Otherwise, you know, I think as you kind of look around, the Pelicans have made some weird decisions. I like the Kevin Looney addition. I liked the guys they got in the draft, but trading that 2026 first rounder was super questionable. That didn't look good at all. There's a lot of stress around Detroit right now, but I've been told by pretty reliable sources they're likely to get a wing upgrade here in the next day or so. They're close to a deal for Duncan Robinson. That could be a good addition for the Pistons, and that'll make them feel a little bit better after losing, probably losing a lot of the guys that helped them make the playoff last season.
Yo, Matt, all things considered, we get to July, we get to August. Have we seen the biggest of the moves? SGA gets a deal today, great fine. He gets paid for the next 4 or 5 years. Are we done with the big moves for now?
I don't think so. I think that we've still got kind of some different mechanisms to figure out. Is it possible Giannis is going to be around? Yes. Is it possible that he could get moved? Yeah. What's going to happen to LeBron? That's a big question here. I still think the Warriors are shopping for a major move. I still think the Bulls have a lot of pieces that they're looking to trade. So I think that there's still a number of moves left on the table that we have to see figure out. I don't think we're done with the NBA drama yet.
Wow. What could the Warriors possibly do? They're saddled with all their old guys trying to hit a grand slam. Like, what could they possibly do? Move Kuminga for something?
Yeah, so I think the idea is moving Jonathan Kuminga, although it does sound like Miami's maybe not going to be an option for them. And if that's not the case, then it's going to be hard finding somebody to take on his money, but that would probably be the move that gets them some new kind of life in there. But I do think that they're going to continue to look at all options. I think they want to assemble something close to a super team to try and build around Steph. I don't know what the contracts for those are going to have to look like, especially under this new CBA. But all I know is the Warriors have not seemed like they are happy to just go ahead and go along. Seems like they want to continue adding because they really want to make one more push to get Stephen Curry that fifth ring.
Yeah, they're trying. It's going to take a whole hell of a lot more. Hey, Matt, thank you so much for the time and for your insights. Please tell everybody where they could follow you and all your work with the Action Network.
Yeah, you can download the Action Network app. It's got great information in there. You can also catch me on Locked On NBA Daily on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/LockedOnNBA.
Hey, Matt, thank you for the time. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Anytime, man. Take care.
No doubt about it. You just heard from Matt Moore. Yeah, what, there still could be more? Yeah, we still have to figure out what happens with Jonathan Kuminga. He might be the guy who helps unlock things. He's a restricted free agent, and we have already heard about the beef for years now between he and Steve Kerr and his usage. His usage was up and down in the playoffs until there was injury, that injury to Steph Curry. And so Jonathan Kuminga, you know he is itching to probably get out of the Bay Area, and the Golden State Warriors are probably itching to find that right deal that would actually get them over the hump to being a competitive basketball team, and not just competitive, but out there competing for a championship. I'm just not so sure. It gets tougher when you start hitching your wagon to dudes who are 36 and 37 years old. Steph Curry might be one of the greatest shooters, one of the greatest players of all time. But Jimmy Butler, no, he's going to get better as he gets older. Can't say the same thing for Draymond. Steph certainly isn't going to get better. Nobody gets better as they get older when it comes down to professional sports. You just try to hold on and max out what you got and switch things up a little bit. The Golden State Warriors got to figure out how they can go ahead and fix that roster. Good luck to them. Thank you so much to Matt Moore. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back, I do want to point two things out. Matt brought up an excellent point. The Nuggets are set up again to go on a championship run. It was only a couple of months ago that Nikola Jokic sat on the stage and said, hey, I don't think this roster is good enough to win because obviously we didn't. So there we have that. And then the New York Knicks. Man, over here picking up players. The New York Knicks still do not have a coach. They might get closer, though. I'm going to tell you about that on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Matt Moore for joining us from the Action Network. Covers all things NBA, has covered all things NBA for years. And he came through to have a chat with us about everything that has taken place so far in NBA free agency, or at least the legal tampering period, including a lot of the trades that we've also seen take place that will be consummated real soon. In a little less than a week, Sunday, I believe, is the day everything can become official. And as we continue on with the show, I'm going to get back to your calls. You can hit me up easy. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. And a couple of things he brought up. He said the Denver Nuggets, he feels, are right back on path to being championship contenders with some of their moves. And in the New York Knicks, I can't believe they've added a player, adding talent, and they still don't have a head coach. But maybe, just maybe, they're getting a little closer. And we'll talk about them as well. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Toronto, Canada, and talk to Bob. Bob, you're on the JR Sport Brief. Show us on your mind.
The Raptors, just so confusing. Why would you let Masai take care of the draft and then fire him the next day? That makes no sense. I actually was hoping with him there and his relationship with Giannis, like there was rumors of him maybe coming. And that would have been nice in a lighter Eastern Conference, Giannis and Scottie Barnes and Ingram. That would have been a nice trifecta to start the year, but looks like
we discussed that last week. I don't have too much clarity on why that's the case. I still look at the roster that's been put together and I just say, hey, it's a bunch of young guys that I don't know if any of them will ever fit. I don't know if any of them will ever kind of break through the glass ceiling to be the guy. I know the expectation was for Scottie Barnes to be that. I don't see it happening. I think he's a good piece, but I don't think he's going to be head and shoulders above everybody else.
He's Siakam version 2.0. He's a good 1B or 2, right?
If he grows into that, I mean, if you look at it one way, he's still only 23 years old, but I don't see his game evolving too much more than what it already is.
Yeah, I know. And, I still think they're going to make, if they had made at least a good, strong move, I would have been confident about them not being in the play-in, but in the actual playoffs. They'll be pushing, like they finished 11th this year, they'll be between 8th and 10th. Right? Yeah. Like that's where they'll end up. And
if guys are healthy, I mean, to count on Brandon Ingram to be healthy is, yeah, that's a hell of an exercise in and of itself.
Their draft last year was really good. I do have a lot of good young guys, and I don't know how much you guys pay attention to him down there, but Grady Dick, I hated that they drafted him because I wanted them to take out of UConn. Dawkins, because I'm a big UConn fan. So I was – Dawkins went the next pick. So I was like,
yeah, well, Grady Dick can go out there and get buckets. He's a great shooter. It'll be no time before he's averaging 20 plus a game, and it may not be in a Raptors uniform. Hey, Bob, thank you for calling.
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, Bob. What?
Last thing really quick, and the Jays beat the Yankees today and are within one game. So I'll let you go with that, brother.
Well, thank you so much, Bob, for calling from Toronto. Yeah, the Blue Jays beat the hell out of the Yankees. I think the final score was 12-5, 12-7. The Yankees have been on a little bit of a slide recently. It seems like both teams in New York are trying to figure things out. The New York Mets and their pitching and the bullpen and the New York Yankees. It's not looking good for either one of these teams. I know fans in Toronto certainly hoping for something. You can't count on the Raptors for squat right now. Maybe the Toronto Blue Jays will be able to go on a little bit of a run. Yankees is, I don't know what the hell is going on in New York. Hey, Bocce, you up there? How you feeling about those Mets, man?
Very scared, just because you turn your head and then another pitcher gets hurt. So it's not a code red right now, but it is getting there. It's pretty close.
Yeah, how much longer before we get there?
I'd say a week or two if it's continued losing.
Yeah. Yeah, damn it. The only thing that may be helping or save them, and it's still like a week or two out, is the actual All-Star break. And so, people kind of on pins and needles right now with both New York baseball teams. They spend so much money, and let's just say the results are not there right now. And speaking of spending a crap ton of cash and not necessarily having the results, the other team in New York, the basketball team, not the Nets, but the New York Knicks, they still don't have a coach. We learned that they're going to add Jordan Clarkson on a minimum contract. Great for the Knicks to get him to go out there and just get buckets. The Knicks needed somebody who can just be a microwave scorer. That is all Jordan Clarkson does. But the idea is there's still no coach. And apparently Mike Brown is now on his second interview with the New York Knicks. Yeah, Mike Brown, the last time we saw him on the sidelines as a head coach was with the Sacramento Kings. Ian Begley covers the New York Knicks for SNY, and this is what he had to say about the odds of Mike Brown taking over.
Ian, is this now Mike Brown's job to lose?
I don't know if I would go that far, because I think there may be other people coming in for second interviews in addition to Mike Brown's second interview, which will be this week. And so Knicks are saying that we could have more people coming in. However, in that first round of interviews, Brown did make a good impression on people he spoke with, and he did garner support internally after that interview. And so it looks like he's in good shape. Still always the wild cards out there, Billy Donovan, Jason Kidd, probably even a few others. But, yeah, it does look like Brown is in good position at the moment. And I think something should get done here by the end of the week. I'd be surprised if it drags into next week.
Oh, my God. We're still doing this with the Knicks. Still don't have a coach and Mike Brown and still throwing Jason Kidd's name out there. This is just Bocce, has it been a month? It's probably been a month now since they fired Thibodeau, right?
I think at the end of the week, it's a month exactly. Because it was either June 3rd or June 4th.
June 3rd. That's 2 days Thursday.
Yeah, that's like, so this week.
Oh, my God. Only the New York Knicks could fire a guy who led them to so much success and then thank him by giving him the boot because they didn't, go to the NBA Finals. It's just, it's nuts. And so they're out here adding players before they even necessarily get to their head coach. But we know talent trumps all, unless you're Tom Thibodeau and they say that he mismanaged the talent. This is what Ian Begley had to say about Jordan Clarkson bringing his buckets and his scoring to the Knicks. Listen.
Depth and scoring off the bench, two things that they didn't have enough of last season. Clarkson, veteran scorer, you're going to get points from him. Maybe not consistently night in and night out, but more often than not, he's going to give you something off the bench. That's what the Knicks needed. Bench scoring, last in the NBA, really struggled to score off the bench. So he gives them that, and that's big because now, look, if you put a Mikal Bridges with the bench lineup, or you put, a Towns with the bench lineup, you have a scorer out there in Clarkson who's going to attract attention from defenses, and it also, leaves the Knicks with some money left over to try to entice some other free agents to come over.
Good luck to the Knicks. And let's be honest. If Mike Brown becomes the head coach of the Knicks, is that moving the needle for Knicks fans? All the Knicks fans who wanted to scream up and down for years about we got to get rid of Tom Thibodeau, and Tom Thibodeau is the reason why we didn't win. And this is Mike Brown moving the needle? And what coach would have moved the needle outside of fans just looking for their pound of flesh? I think in most cases, you take a look at the roster, you look at the talent, and I think in the Knicks case, they maxed out. I think they maxed out because of the head coach. And unless they made some roster changes, like, I don't know, maybe if Jordan Clarkson was on the team last year, I'm not saying that that was a reality, but if they did have some bench scoring, maybe Tom Thibodeau wouldn't have to play his starters as much as he did. I don't know, maybe he knows his players a little bit better than the fans who just want to see, I don't know, Deuce McBride and Landry Shamet go out there and chuck up some shots or go to some holes. I don't know. Everybody's so focused in on the head coach, people forget about the talent. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. When we come back, we'll talk some more basketball. We're going to chat with Daniel Lerner from the Houston Chronicle. And then here in Atlanta, people are hyped about the Hawks. We'll talk about them, too. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.